All right, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 15 this morning is where we're going to begin. Just a couple of things I'd like to highlight before we jump in. As we watched that video and Shannon shared a little bit with you, over the last 8 years that we have served here, we have had the opportunity to take part in the Montana Missions Offering. One of the greatest things, and it's not bragging, it's just a praise for how God has continued to show his faithfulness here through our church, but our church has consistently been in the top 5% of churches giving to the Montana Missions Offering. And so throughout the state, if you're unfamiliar, there are 136 Southern Baptist churches spread across the state. And so the Montana Missions Offering goes specifically to building, helping, and serving churches here in the state of Montana. Now, that may seem like a small venture. But over the last couple of years, as was mentioned in the video, and this is one of those areas that I've had the opportunity to be involved in. Many of you know I served as the president of the state convention for a few years, and I've been on the administrative team for about 7 years. But over the last couple of years, the North American Mission Board has cut roughly $200,000+ from giving to the state of Montana. For many of what has happened is there's been an increased focus on larger populated areas, Denver and Atlanta, things of that nature. But what that means for us in the West and in states like Montana, much like other resources, we just kind of get overlooked. And so this Montana Missions Offering is an essential offering to help do the work that God has called us to do here in the state. So pray about what God would have you to give to the Montana Missions Offering. Secondly, thank you for that kind gift. It has been a privilege. I shared last Sunday, I preached my 400th sermon here from this pulpit, and I'm eternally grateful to have the privilege to walk alongside of each of you. And we do pray that we will continue to serve here for 32 years. I'm going to do some math. That'll be 40 years. That'll be 40 years, and I'll also be 78. Yeah, that's here we go. All right, so you guys hang with me for another 32 years?
Yep.
Okay, we got one. That's okay. As long as I got one, I'll keep preaching. Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to begin this morning. Now, over 78, or maybe sermons will be a lot shorter. Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to be this morning. Over the last few weeks, we've walked through the parables of Jesus. Now, these three parables are probably going to be some of the most familiar parables that we're going to read. And these parables were used and there were points made to illustrate who God was. Really, if you can describe Luke chapter 15 in many ways, this is kind of an autobiography of who God is. Now, there's a series of three different parables. These parables were given as a response to the Pharisees. They had challenged Jesus. They had come to him with an issue. Now, you won't find this in our section this morning, but I want to begin by reading verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 15 to maybe set the context, if you will, of what is happening here in the midst of this story. Now, if you're familiar at all with the Gospel of Luke, Luke is very detailed in how he writes and tells us a great deal of information about what's happening. Now, Luke chapter 15 obviously happens later in the gospel. And so at this point in time, Jesus has started to gain a following. Luke chapter 15 verses 1 and 2 says, "All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So here's our context. Jesus has come into the world. He has begun teaching, and there are people who are responding. Luke 15 verse 1 gives us two specific groups of individuals who are coming to hear what Jesus has to say. Now, who are they? Okay. The tax collectors and what?
Or
the sinners. So. Tax collectors and the sinners. Now, that's a pretty broad spectrum. And when you think about the tax collectors, obviously that's a very specific group. Culturally, to use the term tax collector would have probably created a sense of tension and anger and frustration when that phrase was uttered. How many of you like the tax man? You're not raising your hand. But the tax collectors were a group of people that ultimately had kind of sold out their nation and had begun to exploit them for the sake of the government. The second group was sinners. Now that in and of itself is a very broad term, isn't it? But what we recognize here is that these two groups of people, those who were struggling, those who were hurting, those who were looking for purpose and direction in life, where did they go? They went to Jesus. You see, throughout all of these parables, there's two individual groups that we think of. We think of those that are far from God and those that should be near to God. We think of the sinners here and the religious. And in verses 1 and 2, there is this juxtaposition between those who were seeking God, not the people that they would have expected. The sinners were coming to hear Jesus because the message that Jesus had shared with them had changed their life. But the second group of people, in each of the parables, there's this beginning statement. As we walked over through the last few weeks talking about these, the Pharisees are this kind of continual group. They're the antagonists, aren't they? If we were to look at this as a story, we would see the Pharisees as the ones they should have gotten. This should have clicked for them. This should have made sense. But what does verse 2 tell us the Pharisees are doing? They were complaining. They were complaining. Now, surely as Christians, we have moved beyond the stage of complaint, right? No. Yes. Unfortunately, this is where we find ourselves so often in the midst of this, is that rather than recognizing what Jesus is doing or teaching or growing in our lives, we just complain about it. When things don't fit our agenda, when things don't fit our idea of how they should work, we complain about it. We don't participate in it. We don't grow from it. No, we just point a finger and complain about it. So this is the context of Luke chapter 15. Jesus knows his audience and is speaking specifically to those who are willing to hear. Now I preface our sermon this morning with that idea. Those who are willing to hear. The challenge for many of us as we walk through these doors on a Sunday morning is, are we willing to hear? Are we willing to come and to participate? Are we willing to come and recognize that God has something for us to learn? That there's something in our hearts that maybe God is needing to change. There's something in our situations that God needs to work on. This morning, I want us to look specifically at a story of a lost sheep. These three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, over the next 2 weeks, we'll talk about the rest of these parables. But this morning, specifically, I want us to talk about sheep in need of a shepherd. Let me read for us in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 3 through 8. 8 will be the beginning of the one we will read next week. Starting in verse 3, it says, "So he told them this parable. What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the last one until he finds it? When he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors but together, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need repentance." Verse 8, "Or what woman has 10 silver coins? If she loses one coin, does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it?" Now the story that we'll look at this morning, dealing with an individual, this parable illustrating ultimately losses. We've all felt that feeling of desperation. I joke about my coffee cup, but more often than not, I usually have a couple of coffee cups on a Sunday morning just because I happen to lose them. How many else of you have a tendency to struggle with losing things? Anybody else struggle to lose things? You're going to have to raise your hand. Everybody's wives point at their husband, right? And some husbands are lifting up their wives' hands. When we've lost something, there's a deep yearning inside of us to find it, isn't it? None of us would have some possession and say, you know what? It's not really that big a deal. I'm not too concerned about it. I won't really search that hard for it. The parable this morning, I think for many of us, we have an understanding of what occurred. Now, obviously, this individual was a shepherd. The parable in which Jesus tells us helps us to understand not just the value of who we are, but God's desire and innate love for his creation. Now, I've shared this with you before, and you know, you read throughout Scripture, there's not a lot of references to cattle, all right? I'll confess to you, I know nothing about sheep. I've told you this story many times. Some of you have had experiences with sheep. All the experience I had with sheep has been negative, all right? Sheep, in and of themselves, are, well, they're just special in God's eyes. How's that? Sheep have this ability to find a wreck. You know, I mean, that statement, if they can, they will. I grew up around cattle country. We live in cattle country. I understand cattle. Sheep make no sense to me. So I did a little research this week, and in Compton's Interactive Encyclopedia, it gives us this description of sheep. Are you ready for it? The most frequently mentioned animal in the Bible is a sheep. Sheep live in flocks. They follow a leader, usually an old ram or a male sheep. They eat grass and other plants. They like to graze over wide areas of pasture. Sheep are naturally hill animals. They like it best where it is high and dry. They can be raised, however, on any land that is not wet and swampy. Domestic sheep depend on humans for protection. They are very timid. A sheet of paper blown by the wind will frighten them. A thunderstorm may throw them into a panic. They may drown without a struggle if they are scared while crossing a stream. Fire in a building where sheep are kept may destroy a whole flock because they are too frightened to flee. I would agree with that statement. Based on my limited knowledge of sheep, I would say that that is a very fitting description. Would you agree with that? Now, why would Jesus use sheep as an example? Throughout Scripture, we find references to sheep. All we like sheep have done what?
Gone
astray. You see, each of us have that tendency, these moments and times, we may chuckle and laugh at a sheep for dying in a burning building because it's too afraid to do anything. But how often has our sin burned us to the ground in pure destruction because we were afraid to move? How often in our lives have we found ourselves in scenarios and situations where God has provided an opportunity for us to escape, and rather than listening, we just sit there and drown? We may laugh at a sheep, but I think as people, there's a lot of resemblance between us and them. Jesus teaches this parable specifically for both groups of individuals. You'll notice as we read these verses, he addresses the religious, doesn't he? He also addresses the sinner. Now, I recognize in this room, there's a likelihood that we have both groups of people. Those of us who have known Christ for a long time, we would be considered those that might fall into the degree of a Pharisee or a scribe. We've been well educated. We've had opportunities to learn and to grow and understand so much about Scripture that maybe others haven't had. And then there are those of us who enter into this room completely lost and struggling and trying to find purpose and direction. Jesus, in the midst of this parable, doesn't just speak to those who are far from him. No, he addresses each group. Because you know what's interesting, I think, about these two groups of people? They were both far from God. One recognized they were lost. The other didn't realize how far they had run. Looking at Luke chapter 15 this morning, I want us to take just a moment and begin in verse 4, and we'll break down each of these verses as we take a moment and read through these once again. Jesus begins, he says, "So what man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it?" Now we may take a moment, we'd say, you know what, 100 sheep, that's a lot of sheep. But in this culture, in this time, 100 sheep was really just kind of middle of the road. This individual wasn't necessarily wealthy. He didn't have a whole lot of possessions. It would have kind of put him in the lower middle class, if you will. We can assume that his sole source of income was these sheep. He was at that point, if you know any ranchers, that they had just enough to survive, but not enough to do well. You know what I'm saying when I say that? that for him, all he could do was invest in these sheep because he had put just enough in it that he really had no other hope. These 100 sheep would have been incredibly important to him. For those of you who have had animals, you'll recognize the importance of caring for your animal. You can imagine for a moment as everything wraps up for the evening. In my mind, the way I picture this scripture, maybe the man is standing at his barn and he's counting the sheep as they walk in. And maybe Cream Puff walks in and Marshmallow walks in. I don't know if he has names for them. But you know, he gets to the end and he counts to 99. He says, "Where's Snowball?" He says, "Where's Snowball?" And what does he do about Snowball? Some of you may be Snowball this morning. Imagine for just a moment if the story had ended at that moment. If literally the shepherd had seen, "I've got 99. That one old man. The other 99, they were well cared for. They had been provided feed and shelter and water. But what about that one? What about that one this morning?" You see, for many of us, I think we come into this situation, maybe with this presupposition, forgetting that we, at some point, were that one. Maybe that one was stuck in a thicket. Maybe that one had found his way into some situation or some struggle or difficulty, and his life was literally coming to an end. What we find about this story, this parable, Jesus says, "Wouldn't this man drop everything, leave the other 99 to go and to find the one?" Luke 15, verse 5, it says, "Then when he found it, what did he do? He put it on his shoulders and rejoiced." Never had that moment where you lost something of great value? And when you found it, what did you do?
I found it.
You yell, "You found it." I mean, we've all had that moment in our home where we were looking for something and we yell upstairs, "Hey, I found it." You see, the shepherd was overjoyed that this sheep who had been lost, literally part of his income, part of his survival, he found it and he put it on his shoulders. He put it on his shoulders and he carried it home. Returning home, what did he do? Did he leave it to himself? No, he shared with his friends. He invited them over. He said, "Come over and have dinner. Let's celebrate my sheep." Verse 7, Jesus says, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. Genuine repentance, coming before God, confessing our shortcomings, confessing our failure, brings us into the fold. Those of us who so often forget that, you know what, no matter how long we have been sinners, we have always been that lost sheep. Three things I want us to look at with the rest of our time this morning. Three elements that I think we find in the midst of Luke chapter 15. The first one is quite obvious. A situation of losing. Look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. "We all went astray like sheep. We've all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of all of us." I believe that people are lost because of their proneness to wander. That's not a very profound statement, I realize. But just like sheep, we have that tendency to wander, don't we? If you've ever been around any animal of any type, you know, I know with our horses, it's amazing how much country a horse can cover when you put its head down, right? All of a sudden, the horse keeps wandering and keeps wandering, and by the time you look at him, he's far, far away. How often in our own lives do we just kind of go about with our heads down, plodding along, doing what we've always done, and then we find ourselves in the midst of danger, in the midst of lostness? Now, for us as Christians, we all recognize that when we came to him, we were lost. When Jesus came into our hearts, we find this position that we have now been found. But I wonder this morning, if you take a moment, do you remember what it was like to feel hopeless? Do you remember what it was like to feel completely lost? People are lost because of their proneness to wander. Secondly, I believe people are lost because of their blindness to danger. Now, that may seem self-explanatory, but it isn't amazing the situations that we as people can find ourselves in. Maybe we don't pay attention to the scenario just as the sheep didn't realize what incredible hurt and exposure it had to himself, that we as people have this tendency to know the instruction of God. We have his word. We have his direction right in front of us. But rather than listening to it, we continue on our own way and we are blind to the danger that stands in front of us. Thirdly, I believe people are lost because of their misconceptions. This, I know the direction. I don't need any help. I can get there. Don't tell me where I need to be. I understand what's coming up in front of me. I don't need your warning. Now, as parents, we've all had those moments in time to where we've had to teach our children lessons through their own decisions, right? We ourselves have learned lessons much the same way. Maybe in our own minds we had this misconception of what direction we were going. But ultimately, as we pursued it, as we followed it, we found ourselves more and more lost. See, all of these things combined with our propensity towards evil brings us to a position of losses. So being lost in this parable means being away from safety and being in a place of danger. It means being uninformed about a better way to live. It means not serving God for all the wrong reasons. Lost is being where you're not supposed to be. Are you where you're supposed to be this morning? I read this story this week of a shepherd. I'd like to read it to you this morning. This parable points us to the situation where there are moments in time to where God allows us to be lost. The story went this way. He lets us wander away, hoping that weariness and despair will turn us around. Has it occurred to you that the thwarting of your dreams, the foiling of your best laid plans, the dashing of your hopes could be the work of the good shepherd who is hemming you in so that you will allow him to snatch you up out of the thicket and bring you home? A woman visiting in Switzerland came to a sheepfold on one of her daily walks. Venturing in, she saw the shepherd seated on the ground with his flock around him. Nearby, on a pile of straw, lay a single sheep, which seemed to be suffering. Looking closely, the woman saw that its leg was broken. Her sympathy went out to the suffering sheep, and she looked up inquiringly to the shepherd, and she asked what had happened. And the shepherd said, "I broke it myself." Sadly, he explained, "Of all the sheep in my flock, this was the most wayward. It would not obey my voice. It would not follow when I was leading the flock. On more than one occasion, it wandered into the edge of a perilous cliff. And not only was it disobedient to itself, but it was leading other sheep astray. Based on my experience with this kind of sheep, I knew I had no choice, so I broke its leg. The next day, I took food and tried to bite me. After letting it lie alone for a couple of days, I went back and not only eagerly took the food, but it also licked my hand and showed every sign of affection. And now, let me say this. When this sheep is well, it will be the model sheep of my entire flock. No sheep will hear my voice so quickly, nor follow so closely. Instead of leading the others away, it will be an example of devotion and obedience. In short, a complete change will come into the life of the wayward sheep. It will be will have learned obedience through its suffering." You see, church, I wonder for many of us, have we been lost and found? But yet, rather than continuing to follow, we go our own direction again. Maybe we have endured some hardship or some difficulty, and God is trying to teach us a lesson through it. And rather than learning, we continue to go our own direction. Secondly, I believe in these scriptures that God is showing us that he searches for us. Chapter 29, verse 11 is a well-known section of scripture. "For I know the plans I have for you." You probably know the verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future? Do you know what Jeremiah 29:13 says? You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You know, one of the things that I have found throughout my life is that, and I shared it with the children, God goes nowhere. He is consistent. He is trustworthy. He is stalwart. God never changes. It's me that does. God never wanders. He never disappears. He's never hiding behind the trees saying, hey, come and find me. No, God sent his one and only Son here on earth so that we could experience and know truth. You see, what we find throughout the world, religions of the world describe how man seeks God and finds him. Christianity describes how God seeks man and found him and brought him home again. You read through these verses, the man doesn't sit and wait. He didn't see the 99 and said, you know what, that sheep, I told him not to run away, I'm just going to let him die out there in the field. Some of us have felt that way. Some of us have felt as if we were the sheep who wandered far. That there was no hope. But there is in Jesus. It sounds so simple. So much of the time we hear it so often, we recognize that truth, but Jesus found us. In the midst of our sin, in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our losses, Jesus came and found us. For some of you, you remember what it was like to be rescued. For some of us, we have forgotten that. For some of you this morning, maybe you need to allow Jesus to pull you out of the mess. We're not just lost sheep in need of a shepherd, but we have a shepherd who came looking for us. The good news is because of who God is, because of his character, he doesn't just look for a little while. No, he stays until he finds us. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But from there, you will search for the Lord your God, and you will find him when you seek him with all of your heart and soul. How many of you have a tendency to read search and rescue stories? Any of you like search and rescue stories? Some of you may read them. You know, I find a lot of interest in that because for me, I have this tendency to get slightly distracted. I'm sure if you've ever heard one of my sermons, you can agree with that. You know, there have been moments in time to where I have sought after something, but after a period, you know what, it just seems like too much work. I don't really want to put the effort into it. But you read through lost and found stories, these times of rescue, of great triumph, of hardship and difficulty that surrounded this circumstance. People's lives literally saved. Shannon and I met in Yosemite. At that point in time, I know my physique does not describe it. I was a climber. And I spent a lot of time in situations that as I look back on it, as I've gotten older, and there's a reason my mom was quite unhappy with me in those moments in time. But I got to know some individuals. There's a group there in Yosemite, Yosemite Search and Rescue. And some of these guys are lunatics. I mean, that's all they were. I mean, they're the guys that pulled people off the side of mountains with a helicopter, right? I mean, these guys are nuts. But you know, for us, we often forget, or maybe sometimes we don't recognize the situations that we have put ourselves in. And Jesus came and found us. He didn't just look for us. He rescued us from that situation. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 reminds us that in our lives that we are called to submit. We are called to recognize. We are called to come to this place and position to where God not just finds us, but that we allow him to rescue us. The final things this morning, I want to give us four illustrations that help us to go and to apply these truths to our lives. We can know and recognize a God who searches, who finds, and cares for the lost. Us this morning, I want us to remember, first of all, that there are lost sheep around you. A conversation this morning, and just like we watched in the video just a few moments ago, so much of the time we forget that there are lost sheep in our lives. Maybe your life centers around church. Maybe during the week, this might be the only time that you go out and experience other people. But you know, one of the things I am continually reminded of, if you spend any time in our community, this morning I had a conversation with an individual who was handing out Bibles this past week. In a small community you're probably familiar with called Chester, right? Everybody in Chester knows Jesus, right?
No.
Standing in front of a school, this individual handed a Bible to this boy, and he said, "What is this?" He said, "It's a Bible." He said, "What's a Bible? What's a Bible?"
Basic instruction before the new birth.
That's right. See, for us as Christians, we so much of the time forget that we have a message of hope. We have a message of rescue. And there are those here in our community, on this street, next door to our homes, in the places we work, in the situations we serve, that are completely lost. And you have a message to share with them. So let me challenge you to get to know the lost sheep. You know, a few months ago, I extended to you that Who's Your One challenge. To pray for one individual. For some of you this morning, I can ask you, do you know one lost person? Hopefully you can say yes. Let me challenge you to get to know them. Spend time with them. Invite them into your life. Begin to show them what it means to follow Jesus. Thirdly, lead them back to God through love. Now I want to say that again. Lead them back to God through love. That love is an important aspect to what a shepherd does. The good shepherd corrects. The good shepherd guides. The good shepherd leads. You know, when that correction is over, he loves. Ultimately, in his direction and purpose is love. How well are you loving those around you? Are you looking at them from a perspective of condemnation? Much like the Pharisees and scribes, as we read in verses 1 and 2, as they looked and they began to complain, why is Jesus dealing with these sinners? Get to know those lost sheep around you. And finally, create a place for them to find home again. See, church, we as a body, we as a group of believers, one of my deepest desires as a pastor of this church is that we would be a place where people can call home. Where people can come and feel safe and loved. Where people can come and hear the truth of Jesus. Come to the place of repentance. And that means that we as the body have to work together towards that purpose. One can't be standing at the back door with the rod beating the sheep as they walk in the door. We as the body of Christ have to remember that at one point each of us were lost. At one point each of us were broken. Those of you who know the Lord and are experiencing pain and loneliness in your life, you may be going through some situation or challenge. And in your experience, the call is to come home. For those of you this morning who are lost, the Good Shepherd is coming to you. He offers love, he offers redemption, and he offers grace. One of my favorite lines in a hymn goes this way. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Come home this morning as the worship team joins us.